Right, today is a special day. There's a lady in our church. Today is her birthday. Ms. Rigney, 89 years of age today. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Give her a hand. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Good. Brother Caleb's going to help. Come on up here tonight. We want you to come up here tonight. This lady has been a tremendous blessing to our church, to me personally over these years, and she turned 89, 310 plus almost 20 more. That's amazing, isn't it? That's wonderful. Never misses anything. Never misses a thing. And Ms. Rigney, we're so pleased that God's given you life, not only for you and for your family, but for our church. It's a blessing. I don't know what, it wouldn't seem the same not to have you around here. I mean that. God bless you. I think we got a bouquet of flowers for Ms. Rigney. Where is that? Who's got the bouquet of flowers? In my office. No. Run, get them. No. They won't do me any good in my office tonight. We got you a bouquet of flowers, Ms. Rigney, for your birthday. And I think somebody has a cake for you. Okay, I think right here we got a cake here. Go ahead, take the lid off, Emily. Let's let the people see the cake. All right, there it is. So, you still eat cake, Ms. Rigney? Not too much. How about a little bit? A little bit. All right. There's your happy birthday cake. So you take that home with you tonight, and we're going to sing to you in just a minute. But I want you to have those flowers first, so they'll bring those in. When I first came to this church back in 1990, Mrs. Rigney was 70 years old. And 71 years of age, and she was cleaning. Here we go. We got you these to take home with you tonight. You don't get allergies with flowers, do you? Huh? No. Okay. Good. All right. Very good. There you go. Amen. Isn't that pretty? Beautiful. When I came here, she was the auditorium janitor. I have never in my life seen anybody take care of an auditorium like Mrs. Rigney took care of that old auditorium for all those years. I mean to tell you, and if you came in there with food or drink, you didn't have to fear the Lord near as much as fearing Mrs. Rigney. I mean, but she was on top of it big time. And we gave her some money during those years. Of course, they were doing that before I got here. I don't know. How long did you clean the auditorium? Do you remember how long you cleaned the auditorium? Don't remember. That doesn't matter, does it? You did a long time. And they paid her the same every week. And there were weeks that she cleaned it three times a week. And then there were weeks that she cleaned it four times a week, five times a week for special events. And always gave her the same amount of money for doing it. And in those days, when I would get done on Sunday night and Wednesday night and come out of the office, she was always the last one here. And she'd always be my bodyguard. You remember that, Ms. Rigney? You don't remember that? You stayed to the very end. You were the last one always sitting out in that little foyer over there in the old building. And we'd lock up together and go out together. Go out to the car together, okay? You know what I mean? We didn't go out together. So she was old enough and I was young enough. We could do that. Nobody had any suspicions, okay? So we were going out. We had good fellowship after. And always the same statement. My, that was a great sermon. My, that was a great sermon. What a sermon. Every week. Sometimes she had to lie to say it. Amen. Most of the time she had to say the lie to say it. So, but anyway, what a blessing this lady has been. Then we had bus breakfast for a while. You guys remember bus breakfast, amen? And that 30-weight gravy. I'm telling you, it was 30-weight. I'm telling you, it was thick. And the bus captains would come, and some of the bus workers, and then some of the guys that worked on the buses and did the maintenance, they'd come in. You remember Brother Delbert? He and his wife are off on a trip for their anniversary. But you remember Brother Delbert in those days? Remember that? He'd come in there. He would pile that. He had to have sidebars on his plate. He put so much of that gravy on there. I mean, it was just piled on there week after week after week. Ms. Rigney came and fixed breakfast for us. And, oh, it used to irritate her when more people showed up than what she was planning for. Because then there was a shortage, and no lady likes to be short on food, amen. You remember that, Ms. Rigney? I know you remember that, don't you? And in and out of the hospital for a while, some strokes and some other problems, but I don't know if we've had anybody more faithful than this lady. And the pain that she comes to church in sometimes, and you're just overcoming and coming and coming and overcoming and coming and coming. Ms. Rigney, we appreciate you, love you dearly, and we're so happy that your 89th birthday fell on a church service. Amen. Let's sing to her tonight, okay? Can you give us the chord? Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mrs. Rigney. Happy birthday to you. I'm going to give it another hand, all right? Now, amen. I think in different places in the auditorium, there might be some folks that have a card for you or a little something. So Naomi, play a little happy birthday music or Donna, somebody. And if you got something, if you come on up, give it, put it to Mrs. Rigney here, okay? If you brought something tonight, just leave your seat, come on up and sit there and give her a happy birthday, okay? Yeah. Got you some things, some cards. Say anything tonight? You I can get the microphone. You want to say something? Yeah, okay. I want you to say. Let somebody with some sense talk for a little while. Amen.
We own going on with the bill. If you can find us
the testing, there it is. You take all the time you want. Okay.
Thank you, everybody, for everything. I appreciate it. Thank you. I love you all. Amen. You've been a blessing to me. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, preacher.
Oh, you're welcome. No, you're, no doubt, but you're welcome. Is there ever been a plus on them? Amen. That's wonderful. All right, Brother Caleb, Brother Jason, if y'all want to, or Brother Mike, if you want to help there, that's fine. Let's help her with the things there. And Ms. Rigney, we'll get that cake sent home with you tonight. Okay? And you can eat as much of it or as little of it as you want. All right? God bless you. It was tough to put 89 candles on a birthday cake, all right? So, man. Yeah, amen. God bless her. That's wonderful, isn't it? Praise the Lord for that dear lady. That's a blessing. They're not always going to be with us, folks. That's the truth. So we want to take a few minutes every now and again and be thankful for these dear old saints of God. Amen. That's wonderful. God bless you, Ms. Rigney. Happy birthday. We hope you live to see 90. Amen. And on beyond. Amen. Take your Bible tonight to Luke chapter 10. Let me talk to you for just a few moments here. Luke chapter 10. And we didn't get word to the whole church about this. We were afraid if we got it to the kids that the news would get out. So we tried to do it through the adult Sunday school classes. If you didn't get word, I apologize. We tried to get word through the adult classes the last couple of Sundays. And so thanks to those of you who took part in that tonight. And thanks to those who, Emily, for making the cake. And we trust it was a sweet time for Ms. Rigney. God bless you, Ms. Rigney. Amen. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse number 17. The Bible says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Let's pray. Dear Father, please bless us tonight. And thank you so much for Mrs. Rigney and the years that you've given her. And God, I pray that you'll just bless her with many more good quality years. Thank you for her faithfulness, the example that she is to all of us. Now, dear Lord, I pray that you'll bless me in these few moments and help us tonight. And give us give us your Spirit's presence in these few thoughts. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Of course, Jesus had sent the 70 out two by two to be witnesses. And they had come home from their witnessing journey. And they were rejoicing because they'd seen great things happen on their witnessing journey. And they said, Lord, we had power over the devils. We cast devils out through thy name. That's the only way anybody ever cast the devil out of anybody, friend. There's no mere man that has power enough over Satan to cast him out of a person. But the name of Jesus Christ is all powerful. And so he said, of course, they're jumping up, clicking their heels about that. And Jesus said, he said, I was there at the beginning. I was there to behold Satan fall from heaven. In other words, Jesus said, I was there when Satan fell from his original position as the third archangel, as Lucifer, and rebelled against God and fell. And the original sin wasn't committed in the Garden of Eden. Original sin was created in heaven by one of those, by Lucifer, the archangel. And he told him in verse number 19, I'm going to give you power, tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You're going to have these apostolic powers that were significant in this time frame, okay? And this apostolic, that has come to a close. Now, down in my home state, in the state of Georgia and Tennessee and other places in the Appalachian Mountains, they'll have snake handling services. I don't know if you ever seen any documentaries on that. They'll have snake handling services, and they'll handle rattlesnakes, work themselves up into a frenzy. Did I ever tell you about that time? We were out soul winning, Tony Keel and I, in the mountains of Tennessee there on a Thursday or Monday night. I forget. We had soul winning on Monday night. And he was the one who taught me how to lead people to Christ after I got saved, that boy's home. And so we had been to several places, and we were driving up in this old, and until you've been in the Appalachians, and I don't mean the commercialized area. I'm talking about away from the commercialized area. It's incredible, folks. I mean, it's backwards. And we were coming around, and here was a Holiness Church and a little sign out, some revival service. And I don't know, Tony was crazy. He was an old Air Force pararescue guy going behind enemy lines and rescuing downed pilots. He was crazy. You have to be that little bit touch of craziness to be a Green Beret. You know, example, Jim Vineyard, you know what I'm saying? So, he said, let's go in that service. So I'm newly saved. I'm just along with them. Sure. So we went in there, and man, they were up there, and they got to singing and everything, and they had some boxes up front. Had boxes. And they were up there singing, and the singing got more intense and more intense. And I'm going to tell you, it was like somebody flipped a switch, and it went to another level altogether. And those folks, their eyeballs went about 4 inches wide, and they got stiff as a board, and they were singing and carrying on. People started jumping up and heading for those boxes. And Tony and I, he said, let's get out of here. We took off out the back door. I don't know what was in those boxes, but it wouldn't have surprised me if there had been snakes in there. And that's what they do. They sing themselves into some kind of emotional fervor, and then they'll pull those snakes out, claiming that they have power over those snakes through Jesus' name. And some of them have actually been bitten and died. You know what that's called? That's called foolishness. Okay, this was for a specific time period. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you power to do that. But then he said, verse number 20, notwithstanding. He said, fellas, that's not the most important thing. In this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. Why not? Because that's for a specific time period. If you're going to find joy in that kind of power, that power is only going to be available for a specific time, and then it's gone. So if all your joy is in casting devils out, you can only rejoice as long as you can cast devils out. So he said, don't rejoice in that. He said, rather, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Why? Because once that name is written in heaven, that never changes. You'll always have reason to rejoice. If you just make the very foundation of your rejoicing your salvation. That's what he's saying. The foundation of your rejoicing should not be the victories you win. The foundation of your rejoicing should not be casting devils out. The foundation of your rejoicing should not be pastoring a church or teaching a Sunday school class or running a bus route or singing a special or whatever. The foundation of your joy should be the fact that your name is engraved, written with indelible permanent ink in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because, brother, that never changes. You'll always have a reason to rejoice. And I think about that verse and I think about it today. It's been on my heart and on my mind because 33 years ago, this very night, I went to an independent Baptist church as a lost man and came out a saved man. It's always been easy for me to remember Mrs. Rigney's physical birthday because it fell on my spiritual birthday. No, I should say that backwards. My spiritual birthday fell on her physical birthday. There it is. That's when I got saved, October 15, 1975. That was 33 years ago. Walked into Calvary Baptist Church as an old, rebellious, rundown hippie. And walked out with a new name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And brother, I rejoice in that. Now, my heart's been full. My heart's been full Monday. My heart's been full Tuesday. My heart's been full tonight. I know what my emotions would be like tonight. I've already cried. Cried a bunch about it already last night, this morning. And I just want to say tonight, this is a little bit of a, hope you don't mind. Let me just give a little testimony. I'm just rejoicing that my name got written down 33 years ago. Just rejoicing. Just rejoicing. What a difference. And I do thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for that. I thank Him more than anybody, more than any other entity, more than any one person on earth. I praise the dear Lord of heaven for saving my soul. I praise, you know what I praise Him for? I praise Him for patience and mercy and long-suffering. And I look back over those years when I was especially old enough to be a real hellion out in the world. I should have been dead so many times. I had a fella in a rage pull a gun on me in the grocery store because of something I'd been involved in done to him. I was stocking groceries and stocking shelves in the grocery store, and he came in late at night, just me and Dave Krugs, maybe one other person working. And I didn't pay him no mind. And he was yelling everything. Buddy, I mean, he ripped in his pocket, pulled that thing out, put it right up against my head. You don't think that'll send a few chills down your spine? You say, you think he would have? I don't know. I just know there was time and time again, I should have been dead and in hell. Should have been dead and in hell. Driving in cars, I mean, crazy. You know, some of you have been there. Some of you have been there. Should have been dead and in hell. What's that called? That's called mercy. That's called long suffering. That's called the patience of God. That's why I don't like giving up on people. I don't like quitting on folks, no matter how bad it gets, because, brother, all it takes is the conviction of the Holy Ghost and a gospel-preached message full of the Holy Ghost, and salvation can come. I thank the Lord. I thank Him for His patience. I thank Him for His mercy. I thank Him for His long suffering. I thank Him tonight. I've thanked Him last night. I thanked Him this morning. I've thanked Him several times. Just thanked Him on the plane today. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I thank my parents. I really do. For my mom and dad to humble themselves and take their son to a place where he could get some help. That took a lot of humility. A lot of folks are too embarrassed to get people help. There's too much pride. But they didn't care about themselves. They didn't care what people back at the home or the relatives would say. They had one thing on their heart and mind. That was getting their oldest son some help. I thank my dad and mom tonight. They're wonderful folks. I love them dearly. My relationship with my dad and mom was pitiful by my own doing. And buddy, has God turned that around? I praise Him for that. Amen. I thank my parents. I thank Mike Hagee tonight. You never met Mike. I don't know if you will. You heard me talk about him, not maybe never by name, but he was the man that ran the boys' home and ended up back in jail. He was, after I was gone to Hiles Anderson, he was hang gliding and landed wrong and hurt his back, and they prescribed Darvon for him. And he was from the same hometown. He was from Atlanta. He was about just a few years older than me, 6-7 years older than me. I never knew him. Same shape I was in. Got saved at the roll-off homes. And went to Tennessee Temple, went north of Chattanooga, and started the home where I went. And hurt his back, and they prescribed him Darvon. And when he was a lost hippie hellion, he was hooked on Darvon. And that painkiller got in his body, and he got a taste for it again. Started craving it. Started stealing it. Went into drug stores with a pistol. Held up druggists, held up pharmacists in Tennessee. Just made him give him the Darvon and got arrested and put in jail. Roloff had to come get him out of jail. Took him back down to the lighthouse. Last time I heard he was in jail down in Georgia. Had been in an accident, almost got killed. Drunk driving. Breaks my heart. And one of the things I hope, if God, one of the reasons I want to finish right and finish strong for God is that I hope that maybe when Mike Hagee stands before the Lord, if God would just bless my life, maybe Mike Hagee could clip a few coupons from what God has let me do in the ministry. Because if it hadn't been for Mike Hagee, I did something stupid. I did something very stupid. I won't go into it. Very stupid at that boy's home and got caught. And he beat me. He beat me with a 1x4. Bent me over. I mean, I had to bend over. Take it like a man. Knocked me to the floor. He was 6 foot, 185 pounds of muscle. Boxer, fighter, mean as a snake. And I mean, he put the wood to my hind end. I had turtle bruises back there for a couple of weeks, I'm telling you. I mean, buddy, he laid the wood to me. And then he sat me down on the couch, and the old tears came down his cheeks, and he said, Terry, he said, I'm not here to try to get you off a few bad habits. I'm here to hopefully have Jesus Christ change your life. Boy, I could see he meant it. I could see he meant that. He loved us. And he's messed up now. Goofed his life up, and his wife's up in Minnesota and still in church, but he's not. But I thank God tonight for that man. He was in the right place at the right time when I needed him. And I thank God for him, and I thank God for Pastor Strickland. You don't know him. I wish I could bring these men in. Pastor Strickland messed up. Stunned me. You talk about being stunned. You talk about walking around. You get stunned. You just walk around. You're just numb. Just stunned me. But I will tell you what. Buddy, I sat out there that night, and he opened that book right there, and he preached. And I mean, he preached, and the Spirit of God got on me and got me under conviction. And I'm telling you, friend, of course, he'd been on my heart all afternoon. He got me under conviction and gave the invitation, and I got saved that night. And he preached the Bible Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Was doing a fantastic job. Little old town of Graysville, Tennessee, in the valley right next to the Walden's Ridge, the mountains there north of Chattanooga. Just a little old, you talk about hillbilly. Hillbilly. Soddy Daisy and Pikeville and sheriff by the name of Bull Nipper. And I mean, it's just, that was his name, Hillbilly. Buddy, he was doing a great job. That church was full. They were seeing people saved and baptized. And, you know, I'd love to have him here someday. If I couldn't, if he'd have stayed right, I'd have had him here and stood him here and let him preach to you and say, this is the man that preached me to Christ. But you know what? He was my pastor when I got saved. So I'll always be thankful for him. I thank God for those godly deacons of that church. After Mike laid the wood to me, I sat on that wagon going out to the pumpkin patch, and God, the Spirit of God began working on my heart and showing me, son, the mess you're in is not your daddy's fault. It's not your mother's fault. It's not anybody's fault but yours. And you're in a stinking mess because of your sin. I was sitting on the edge of that pumpkin wagon just thinking that. And I didn't know it. Mike Hagee, you saw it. And he went into the house before church that night, and he called the preacher and said, Pastor, I think one of the boys that I'm bringing in tonight, I think God's working on his heart. And Pastor Strickland called the deacons. I wish you could meet them. You talk about hillbilly men. But I didn't even know it. Prior to that service, the deacons came and got in a side room and had a prayer meeting for one of the boys. They didn't know his name. They just said, Lord, one of the boys coming in tonight is under conviction. Please save him. Please do something in his heart. And I'll always be thankful. I wish you could hear him. They would get up there, those folks, and old guitars, and where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? I mean, nasal hillbilly. I loved it. The only song we sang fast was Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. And we sang it so fast we could. Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. It's the only song we sang fast in that church. Everything else was just slow. I thank God for those godly deacons. I thank Calvary Baptist Church. I thank the people of that church for paying the bills and keeping the lights on and paying the mortgage or the rent. When that was mortgage, it had to be a mortgage, paying the payments and keeping the church doors open. You know, pastors get too much. They get too much. So I feel bad sometimes. Oh, Terry Angel, Faith Baptist Church. Look, if it wasn't for you folks, there wouldn't be a Faith Baptist Church. Do you understand that? I don't teach all those classes. I don't run those bus routes. I don't work in that junior church. If it wasn't for you, there would be no Faith Baptist Church. I give, but I can't pay all the bills. It takes a group of people. It takes a group of committed people who stay and go through the thick and the thin and just stay with it, and they love God and they're faithful and they want to serve God. And you know, they had that kind of church down there. They kept the doors open. They kept the bills paid. They kept the preacher in his place with a salary. They kept the buses, a couple of buses running. I thank God for that church, that assembly of born-again, baptized believers where I could go and sit on a pew and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. I thank God for the church. And boy, that night when I knelt and got up, I know you're not saved by feeling, but I like what somebody said up in Elgin. You can't have God move in your body and not feel something. And I got up off that ground. It wasn't a tingly feeling. It was just the weight of sin was gone. And I say to all you young people, I just get so frustrated sometimes because I've been there and done that. And there's nothing there but husks. And I was thrilled to get out. And then I see you coming this way looking, and I'm telling you, and there's about a bunch of other people that could say, there ain't nothing there. Nothing but heartache and brokenness. And the verse at the home was 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And buddy, I was changed. I was changed. I thought about this. My direction changed. My direction changed. My whole direction in life changed. My delights changed. That's a good way to know that you're saved. Your appetites are changed. The things that I used to feed on, and the things I didn't used to like, all of a sudden, whoa! You have an appetite change, you can pretty well feel. You can pretty well understand something happened inside. My delights changed. And then, of course, my destiny changed from heaven to hell. In just a moment of time. The moment of time that I surrendered my old stubborn will to Jesus Christ and my eternal destiny was changed that fast. That's unbelievable, isn't it? I am convinced that we do not understand the miracle of salvation. That God would come in human flesh and go to a cross and die for us, filthy, low-down, wicked sinners. What? And in a moment of time, the moment we surrender our old stubborn will and put our faith and trust in Jesus, our whole eternal destiny is changed forever. That is miraculous. And I've just been rejoicing and praising God. About 33 years ago, getting born again. And I want to say something to us, church. You'd be absolutely amazed to know how many men preaching in the ministry today were saved in the 70s. You'd be amazed. It's incredible. God was doing something in the churches in those years. They weren't marketing the gospel. They weren't targeting a certain clientele of people. Ooh, let's go after them because they got money. Ooh, let's go after them because we want that kind of person in our church. They were going out and getting whoever would come. Just come. Hippies, come. Rebellious hellions, come. We love you. We want you to come. And people were going by the droves to church and getting saved. And it's unbelievable how many guys preaching, pastoring, evangelists in the ministry. You go from Keith Gomez to Dennis Corll to Dwayne Nichols to, I don't know how many. I don't know how. And by the way, last Friday, the IRS dropped all the criminal charges against Revival Fires and Denny Corll, all of them. Now they're going after him for civil charges because they got to save face somewhere. But there's nothing there either. They dropped all those criminal charges against the ministry. And boy, you know, God's not dead. If you think back, the 70s, followed several years of turmoil. Right? You remember the Cultural Revolution of the 60s? Yeah. Some of us were a part of. As far as the rock music and the other things I won't mention. We got saved out of that. A very dark day in our nation. The Beatles and all that mess was going on. Anti-war protesters. Kent State. In the country, and Martin Luther King was assassinated, and Bobby Kennedy was assassinated, and it was chaos, this country. And in the middle of all that, God started doing some wonderful, miraculous things in churches who just had a heart for sinners. You know what? I believe He can do it again. I believe He will do it again. And that's why we must keep our feet to the fire. We've got to keep running the buses, teaching the classes, running the junior church, going out knocking on doors. Let's get these churches started in Illinois. You know, Bob Smith said, and I'll be done. He said he read a little article in a church survey magazine that said a church plateaus between the years 30 and 40. Most churches will plateau. They might bump up a little bit. But by the time they're 30 or 40 years old, they'll be right there. They'll kind of plateau. You know what we turn next year? We turn 40 years old next year. Now, I don't think we're done growing. But I'm not sure the growth will be like this. I don't think it's never been like this. It's always been just a little bit. But I thought how critical it is for us to be involved in the starting of these churches. If what we can do right here in Bourbonnais is just very slow, just very small incremental growth the next several years or however long God leaves us here, that's okay. This church is 30 to 40 years old. But what potential we have. And you know, there's something precious about a new church. Everybody is excited about anybody who comes. Everybody. And brother, if we can be involved in that, we're not limited. Maybe we're not going to do a whole lot more here. I'm not saying we're not. But if we are plateaued, if we're not going to do a whole lot more here, at least the door is open to do things in Hayworth and DeKalb and McHenry and all over this state to be involved in doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ till He comes. I don't know about you, but that's my plan. Amen. And I just rejoice tonight in God's grace, His patience, His mercy, His long-suffering, and in His wonderful, miraculous, marvelous salvation. I thank God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen and amen. And that's all I wanted to say tonight. Just a public testimony of thanksgiving to God for salvation. Now stand, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed.